When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
On today's episode of the Bolts broadcast, we're talking Scandinavian World Junior rosters. Be tuned. Season 3, Episode 9 of the Bolts broadcast. Mike Mitchelson and Chase Crawshaw with you today. And oh boy, Chase, I think I butchered that beginning, but it's really not going to get much better. As I'm sure the audience can hear, the voice is a little bit out today. Feeling a little bit under the weather, and it's been the weirdest stint with a little illness I've ever had. Felt terrible for 2 days, felt great for 2 days, and now back under the weather for another 3 days. It's so weird.
All I know is I am blessed to not have to deal with your face for 1 day.
Yeah, well, it's actually looking good today because I had to make sure that I was clean so the sickness wouldn't continue. So face is looking great.
There you go. Beautiful. But yeah, that's definitely a tough go at it. You know, it's just kind of the way she goes sometimes with these sicknesses, you know. This time of year, you get, you know, with the change of the weather, the cold and flu start popping around. Obviously, COVID is spiking in some areas, so, you know, that's a concern for some people, too. So, you know, hopefully all is well here pretty quickly, and you got nothing to worry about.
Yeah, absolutely. How was your day?
Yeah, not bad. I mean, pretty productive day at the rink, I would say. I got a lot of stuff to do, I still got some phone calls and stuff I got to make today. Going to get a big haircut, you know, not a big deal. Maybe... You know, I was hoping I can mix in a nap. I don't think that's happening.
Just one? Or are you going to have, like, multiple hairs on your head cut?
No, there's this one really long one. It's just really grinding my gears.
That's the worst.
Yeah, it sucks.
Beard trim, or are you just keeping it?
I got to go with the beard trim. It's too much. This is, this like, if it could grow in fully at this rate, then great, I'd keep it. But since there's still some spots where it does not grow in, it's just overwhelming.
There you go. All right. Well, on today's episode of the Bolts broadcast, going to be talking a couple of different things. Obviously, game review, game preview. Going to be talking about some coaching changes, a suspension, and just a nasty goal by a young kid over in Anaheim. And finishing up with the World Junior rosters for Sweden and Finland. But first, we got to mention Victor Hedman, the Swede, the beauty, one of the best players on the Tampa Bay Lightning, named NHL's second star of the week.
Yeah, you know, not a big deal, but, you know, Victor Hedman is one of the best defensemen in the NHL. You know, we talk about it all the time. He had a great week. We talked about it, you know, on the last episode that he had good stretch, and it's just great that he's getting recognized.
Absolutely, and that good stretch continues not only for Victor Hedman, but also our Tampa Bay Lightning, as on Tuesday night against Montreal, it was a little bit of a slower game, but we continued our win streak, and it now pushes us to 4, which, surprisingly enough, is the longest win streak to the season. So I was a little bit shocked on that, but a 4-game win streak here. We're on a 5-game road trip. This was the 3rd game in that road trip, so we have 2 more here. But when we're looking at this game against the Canadiens, kind of a slower game. We weren't sure if Cal Clegg was going to make his debut for the Canadiens. He did, and he was the reason that Pat Maroon got the first goal of the night. Because of a bad turnover behind the net, Pat Maroon was able to capitalize, and it started off hot for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough way for your for your kind of first game to go there. But he played some decent minutes. You know, you're adjusting to a new team, new system, new coaches, blah, 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 all that stuff. But anyways, you know, it's the way she goes. We're happy that Tampa was able to get off, you know, to jump start that they did and come out, you know, kind of hot there real quick and looking good. It was just really a nice effort. You know, Montreal took the lead at one point, I should say, and Tampa came back in a nice way. You know, this battle of former Stanley Cup opponents ended up being a pretty solid game, I'd say, overall.
Yeah, and Corey Perry coming back and scoring the tying goal against his former team, that had to be bittersweet for him and the Canadians because he was there on the other side fighting against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Stanley Cup Finals last year. This time, he gets to help the Tampa Bay Lightning defeat the Montreal Canadiens. So, decent little game. I wouldn't say that this game lived up to the expectations that the Stanley Cup Finals had last year, but Montreal, a very different team compared to last year, so wasn't really expecting that. We got two games to cover, and it's the last two in our road trip before we come home on, I believe it is next Tuesday against the LA Kings. But first, we've got two games, Thursday night against the Toronto Maple Leafs, Saturday night against the Ottawa Senators, Saturday afternoon, excuse me. But the Toronto game, that one scares me because Austin Matthews has been on an absolute heater. 7 goals in his last 5 games.
On top of that, if you look at numbers on the year for frickin' Jack Campbell, just out of nowhere, the former first-round pick, finally figuring it out, 13-4-2, a 1.78 goals against, a .942 save percentage, 3 shutouts already. Like, dude is going ham. This Toronto team is just hot, 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 playing like the best team in the NHL. Matthews is firing, as you mentioned. Don Tavares looks awesome. He looks like he, you know, someone that, you know, maybe you could talk about cutting for the Olympic roster. But the way he's playing, man, that guy's a lock to be kidding at this point. The team is just, they're looking really good, and it's going to be a tough matchup.
And earlier today, the NHL released the Week 8 Top 10 Goals. Austin Matthews was on there, I think, 2 times, maybe 3. So they've been doing some flashy stuff over there. It's going to be a tough game for sure. What do we have to do to take advantage of the Toronto Maple Leafs team? Do we have to shut down their offense, or do we hope Jack Campbell has an off night? What are we thinking?
You got to shut down Austin Matthews if at all possible. Can't really shut down, so just minimize, I guess. Just try to reduce the impact that he makes. And if you can squeak in 3 past Jack Campbell, and there's, you know, you got a better chance to win. You just got to find ways to score. Probably throw a lot of shots on net. Make him work for it. Try to get, you know, great A chances as much as possible. Something Tampa's really good at doing. We talk about it all the time. So just really play their game that they're accustomed to. Because right now Tampa's, you know, they're not as hot as Toronto, but they're playing incredible hockey at the moment. They're playing very strong, playing like we were used to them finally doing. So it just play the game the way that we know they can, and I think they'll be okay.
It's going to be an absolute barn burner of a game. That's going to be one you want to tune in most definitely. Our Saturday game, we go from a hot team in Toronto to one of the coldest teams right now, that being the Ottawa Senators. Only 3 wins in their last 10 games. They're struggling heavily and currently a bottom 3 team in the league. This game really doesn't worry me, aside from maybe the 1 p.m. Like slow start that some of these top teams tend to get.
Yeah, I'm not worried at all. This team's horrendous. Like, there's no positives on this team. I guess you want to look at one. Josh Norris, Michigan kid. He's playing pretty well for Ottawa. It's kind of really what they got going for them. Like, you know, you can look at a guy like Brady Tkachuk, who's doing fairly well. Of course, you know, Thomas Chabot is a great player. Drake Batherson's playing pretty solid, but like, it kind of runs out pretty quickly there. You know, even Tim Stützle is having a pretty slow start to the year based on what his expectations were set. So it's just going to be a tough one for Ottawa to hang in. You know, it's not impossible to squeak out a win. It's the NHL. Any team can win on any given night, regardless of who's playing. It's just not going to be very easy for them.
Yeah, and the goaltending is just absolutely brutal. It is the last place team when it comes to goals against, and probably the worst tandem of goaltenders in the league right now over in Ottawa. So
yes,
that should be a win for Tampa Bay, and that'll be nice to close out the road trip with a win over Ottawa, come back home, settle in for a couple of days, and then we get to see the Canes on Tuesday night. But we'll preview that game on the next episode. Some good games to look forward here in the next couple of days. But that's going to do it for the first half of the episode. On the other half, we're going to be talking some coaching changes and then, of course, the Scandinavian World Junior rosters right after this commercial break. Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game. But with the latest no-brainer from the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once a single point is scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. It's that simple. If Sportsbook isn't yet available in your state, you can still get in on all of the NFL action. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with the DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN. Bet $1 on any team to score and you win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code THPN this week at the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 years or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Shout out to our friends over at DraftKings. Thanks so much for sponsoring the show. And of course, if you have any betting needs, make sure to head over to the DraftKings Sportsbook. All right, Chase. Well, we didn't mention in the prior episode, but Vancouver, they've got a new coach.
Yeah, they do. Bruce Boudreau. I think nice. I messed it up every single time I tried saying it a different way. But yeah, he's back in the fold of things. Back in the NHL, got an NHL job again. A guy that I've always kind of liked. You know, he's great. He's a great behind the scenes guy, and you know, he seems like the kind of coach that you know people like too. But I'm happy to see him get an opportunity there in Vancouver. They got to figure some shit out.
A really good regular season coach, hasn't really found the success in postseason, but Vancouver, they don't really got to worry about postseason right now because they're not even sniffing it. So definitely got to figure out the regular season. Like you said, Bruce Boudreau should be able to help them. And Chase, I actually wanted to ask you before break, but I completely forgot. Do you think that you could guess right now who the coldest team is in the last 10 games? So who is the worst team in those last 10 games?
Let me think without looking at any standings. There was somebody I was reading about who started hot and fell apart. Who was it? I don't know. Who the hell is it?
It was the once surging Buffalo Sabres. Yeah, they are back in the pits of the league. They're 1-8-1 over their last 10.
Well, that's where they should be. Tage Thompson had a really strong start to the year, and that's crazy. Never expected that. But all that matters is Rasmus Dahlin is playing a lot better this year, and all of his analytics numbers show that he's profiling. He's one of the best defensemen to ever play the game already at a young age, and he's got the room to turn into that, I should say. So, you know, I can't complain. And I saw Ukko-Pekka was in that the other night, so you know what? That's all I need from Buffalo at this point.
But he had to have lost because they're –
He's just up in the NHL, so that's all that matters.
There you go. All right, well, let's now move on over to Philly. Alain Vigneault, he gets fired. He's replaced by Mike Yeo. What do we think about this move?
Yeah, it was going to happen. Philly's getting bailed out by goaltending, but at the end of the day, everything else is so bad that you got to figure something out. You got to make some changes because the team really should be a borderline, you know, like they should be a playoff team at least, like a wild card type of team at really the bare minimum. And it just was starting to profile like it wasn't going to be that way. All you need is a little bit of bad luck with your goalies, and you're dropping 10 games in a row the way they're playing. So hopefully a new coach can kind of, you know, get them ahead of things before things get too bad and they can figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, Alain Vigneault, a guy who I personally wasn't the hugest fan of, but when I'm looking at Mike Yeo, I don't know if that's the answer.
It feels like a lateral move to me.
Yeah, he doesn't have the most success in the regular season. His best finish being second in the Northwest at the time. That's being with Minnesota back in 12 13. Missed the playoffs a couple of times, made it to the second round three times, but that's as far as he's gotten. He's got a 4.36 win percentage in playoffs. A guy who I personally just don't think he's got it, so I don't know.
Yeah, the problem with a coaching change is midseason is really all you can do is you can hire a coach that's been fired in the past, or you can promote an assistant. That's all you can really do. You can't go out there and hire a college coach or a junior coach because those guys got contracts and it's not as easy for them to just get up and move. Like, they can't just, like, do that usually. So you got to keep things, you know, in-house or kind of limit your options, really. And it's kind of, you know, what we see here. Maybe it'll work out. Maybe it won't. I don't know. It's still better than having Dave Haxtell as your coach.
For sure. For sure. So now we go over and look at a very scary injury. This happened in the game with the Chicago Blackhawks and New York Rangers, I think it was, where Juha Kara, he got hit by Jacob Trouba high, and it was a scary scene. Eyes rolled in the back of his head. He was down on the ice. Had to be helped off and everything. It was scary.
Yeah, it's an unfortunate situation, but it's one where, like, Kara kind of, like, I you don't want to say someone set themselves up, but he kind of did. Like,
head was down, for sure.
Yeah, his head was completely down, never even really thought about lifting it up, and Trouba was engaged in the hit. It's an unfortunate play, but it's something that happens in hockey when a guy puts himself in a vulnerable position. You know, it's good to hear that he's out of the hospital doing well. It sounds like responsive, no issues, so I'm sure he'll have a bit of a concussion, missed some time, but I'm glad to hear that he's okay.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what's happening with Trouba, if he's going to get a suspension, what's going to be happening there whatsoever.
I don't think so.
But speaking of suspensions, Jason Spezza, he gets a 6-game suspension, and he popped his suspension cherry.
Yeah, he's played, you know, over 1,000 games. I don't remember the exact number, but it's a pretty good chunk. Never got suspended, finally comes. And, it was warranted. Like, it ends up being a knee straight, you know, the head of Neil Pionk, and does some damage. It was a dangerous play. It was clearly something where he was trying to go get a revenge hit, and then goes, and the guy ends up falling, and he goes right at, you know, hits the player right in the head with his knee. It was a bad move by Spezza. It doesn't matter if you're a veteran. It's a worthy suspension in my eyes.
Absolutely. All right, let's now move over and talk about the Nashville tweet. So if you haven't seen it, the Nashville Predators, they replied to someone on Twitter talking about, I think the guy said something, imagine your team's name being similar to Trashville or something like that.
Yeah, I got the tweet right here if you want it word for word.
There you go.
It's got to suck for your city's name to rhyme with Trashville at Preds NHL was the initial tweet.
And they didn't take too kindly, replied, and the reply has been absolutely ripped apart by everyone on social media.
Yeah, they respond, I just know someone that lives in Detroit didn't say something, and now people are not happy, and they're saying, like, why is a social media account, like, for an NHL team reacting to a troll type of move like this? Why are they calling out an entire city? Where, you know, the guy made a joke saying that, you know, Nashville trash rhymes, blah, 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 whatever. If another team makes that, you know, maybe it's a little more uncalled for, but when like a just random person fan, like troll, kind of does it, it is what it is. It's gonna happen. You're not gonna have any repercussions against this guy. But when an NHL team goes and calls out a city like this in a way, like it's not really acceptable for the league.
Yeah, and then you and I talked about it privately in the Twitter group chat with a couple of our friends. But I said I would not be shocked whatsoever if the social media person here for Nashville gets the can, because 10 years ago, wouldn't be that big of a deal. Would be something actually some people would laugh at. Now, with where the world is at the moment and how people take things so personally over, you know, Twitter and the likes, this could be one where people are calling for the social media person's head. And I wouldn't be shocked whatsoever if, you know, a day goes by and we see an apology tweet and then also hear that the person has been fired.
Right.
Trevor Zegras, ever heard of him? Nope. I know Canadians know him because he was the guy that single-handedly ruined your chance at getting gold in the World Juniors last year. Americans know him because, of course, he's just an absolute beauty. Well, he continues his phenomenal creativity that we saw in World Juniors over into the NHL. He's been such a pleasure to watch with the Anaheim Ducks this year. And last night was just the cherry on top. He had just a filthy goal, not a filthy goal, a filthy assist to Sonny Milano. And it was probably one of the cleanest goals we've seen in a long while.
It'll probably win goal of the year. So Trevor Zegras behind the net, if you have not seen it, he goes to initiate the lacrosse move, the Michigan move. And as he's kind of lifting the puck up with momentum, he stops just before where the crossbar is, kind of like he's behind the net and, lifts the puck over the net, goes into the air, goes right into the batter's box for Sonny Milano, and boom, bats it in. Beautiful goal by both. Incredible thought to do that. Incredible reaction by Milano. It's crazy that they were both ready for it. I'm sure it's something they had to practice, but it was cool, man. I'm sure it ended up in ESPN. It's going to get talked about all year, really, is one of the goals of the year. I would really be shocked if someone else takes it over.
Yeah, and Trevor Zegras was shocked that it actually went in the net. I know he was looking at Sonny Milano, just jaw dropped. It was an awesome moment. And a lot of people have been giving it praise. I know Nasher, who we've talked about it a couple of times, he's put out there on Twitter about how much he's enjoyed watching Zegras. Then he got John Buchagross coming out saying, House of Bucci Zegras. That is his new name on Twitter. So he's been a big fan as well.
Yeah, he loves those junior guys, college hockey guys, because, like that's what he did. At ESPN, he covers college hockey a lot. Now he's getting more NHL media, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, he loves that stuff. So that's cool.
Absolutely. All right, Chase. Well, Zegras, one of the better performances we've seen in World Juniors. We've got two World Junior rosters to look over today. That would be Sweden and Finland's. Let's start with Sweden's. Any names that catch your eye? I think the first one that catches mine, Jesper Wallstedt, a very high pick in this past year's draft. One of the top goalie prospects we've seen in quite a while. He's going to be most likely the main guy for the Swedish team.
Yeah, I'm going to guess Kelly Kling's number two, plays a game or two max, but Walsh is going to play the rest and really carry the load here. Looking at the rest of the guys, it's a pretty good roster. You got some pretty decent NHL draft picks. Obviously William Eklund, a high pick, playing in the NHL already. Fabian Lysell, Theodore Niederbach, Zion Nybeck, Oscar Olsson, Isaac Rosen. Back on the defensive end, Emil Andre, Simone Edvinson, the Helge Granstu, who I don't want to forget. But really, the one name is a name that I'm not seeing, and it's William Wallander. He's a Wings prospect. He has played 21 games in the Swedish League this year as a defenseman, a goal, 9 assists, 10 points, I believe. Or maybe it's a goal, 10 assists, 11 points. But regardless, he's playing really well, and he kind of looked like a lock to make the roster. It's kind of like a Brant Clark situation where it's like, okay, this guy seemed like it made all the sense in the world to add, and all of a sudden he's not here. So it's kind of weird.
Very weird. And I got to ask, is it weird that I feel like Fabian Lysell is super old, but he's one of the younger guys on the roster? Like, I feel like he's been in the limelight for 2-3 years now, and yet he's still a 2003-born kid. Like, yeah. I don't know.
He just got drafted, literally, his last draft.
Yeah, I know, but coming into the what was the draft prior to this one? The Lafreniere draft?
Yeah.
During that whole process, Fabian Lysell and Atu Ratu were like the two names to look forward to in this past draft. So he's just been in the limelight for so long that it makes me think he's a lot older than what he is, and he's not at all.
Yeah, no, he is not. But speaking of Atu, unless you've got anything else to say about Team Sweden.
Continue.
All right, perfect. We can switch right over to the Team Finland. And yeah, Atu Ratu was someone looked at as a first overall pick potentially in the 2020 draft or 2021 draft, excuse me. And that ended up not being the case. He falls to the second round like a joke, never should have fallen that low. Sure enough, he did. He got notably cut from the World Junior team last year. He's on the roster this year. There's no reason that he shouldn't be. Talking about Atu real quick, I was telling you about it last night. He's got six games with Carpate this year, the team he's played with the last few years and really through his whole development life. And he had six games, 1 point, wasn't playing a lot of minutes. Sure enough, he gets loaned to Ukrit in the Liga as well in the Finnish League. 9 games, 6 goals, 5 assists, 11 points, playing anywhere from 18 to 25 minutes a night, and he looks incredible. So not a shocker. He's played great at the U20 scene so far, 20 points through 11 games in those international tournaments that he's played in thus far. He looks like a legitimate NHL prospect yet again, someone who's got the chance to be a star like he was the whole time, even though he was just overlooked because he was struggling a little bit, just because NHL talent evaluators did a bad job evaluating him.
And it's really unfortunate because we talked about it when he got drafted that he shouldn't have fell out of the first round. However, he did. He went 52 and he went to the Islanders, a team that you and I were a little bit bummed he actually went to. So to see him actually have some good success now over in Joker, it definitely hurts because we know that the Islanders, they got a good one here.
I don't think it's impossible this guy plays NHL games next year. And after the season after next year, he's a locked and loaded NHLer. Like, he's that good, and he's already at that point in his development career. Like, it's stupid that he went as low as he did.
So are we expecting Atu Ratu to be the top guy for Finland, or are we looking at a name like Brad Lambert?
Yeah, this is going to be interesting because Lambert's kind of struggled a little bit in the Finnish league this year. It's not like he's been playing bad. It's just, you know, sometimes, you know, you can do everything right. You have, you know, you're working your ass off doing this, doing that right, and then the bounces just don't go your way. And that's kind of what we're seeing with Brad Lambert in, you know, in with JYP in the Liga. This year he's got 21 games, 2 goals, 3 assists, 5 points, but he's playing pretty well. It's, you know, it's not like he's playing any bad or anything. So, you know, maybe he can go to World Juniors, play well, and then, you know, kind of spark something going on to finish off in the Finnish league this year. Joachim Kemmel is looking like a legit prospect this year, going to be a top 10 pick. So those three up front are really studs. Roope Järventiin, Samuel Lenius, Kasper Siementoivel. Those are some guys that are worth keeping an eye on as well. On the back end, you know, some solid names like Topi Niemelä. I like him a lot. Emil Viro, Kasper Pieto are two good guys as well, but nothing too crazy. And then in net, I mean, it's just Joel Blomqvist and should be good, but I don't think he's going to be like a world saver type of goalie. You know, this Finnish team, we always talk about, oh, they're probably fourth or fifth of the five major nations, and then they always end up meddling. So I think it kind of looks that same way again, but I wouldn't be surprised if they meddled.
Do you think that Sweden has the nod in all three positions, including forward? I would assume they do absolutely in the goaltending. And then, like you said, Finland's back end isn't looking the most special. You saying that you'd rather take Sweden's front end as well?
Yeah, I would. It's closer than the other two, I would say, but I would still take Sweden's. You know, I think Samuel Hellenius is going to end up as the captain of this Finnish team. He's someone who's got a good chance at going on and actually playing pretty well. He gets some pretty solid minutes with his Finnish team, but he's kind of struggled a little bit this year too. But I mean, he's pretty good. I would expect him to end up on the maps, some people's radars, I guess, really after this tournament. So there's going to be a couple guys that perform pretty well like they always do for Finland. But overall, I would take Sweden's, especially because there's a very high chance Alexander Holt gets added to the roster.
It'll be an exciting World Juniors, and I'm very interested to see what Sweden we get. Is it the one we've gotten for, you know, decades where they just don't drop a, what is it? The, like, pre-play.
Like the round robin?
Yeah, like where they just don't drop a round robin game whatsoever, or is it going to be the Sweden team we saw last year where they really struggled? So we'll have to see. Going to be doing some more World Junior previews and making predictions and everything as we get closer. But that's going to do it for this episode. Let's go to a hockey name of the day. We've got Tommaso Traversa.
Tommaso Traversa. Yes, beautiful, easy, awesome Italian name.
Breezy cover girl.
Okay. He also goes by Uto. So Uto Traversa is what he's also known as. I don't know what the origin is for that, but sure enough, that's the case. You know, our boy Uto grew up in Italy, played through Italy, ended up playing in some D3 hockey at Hobart, which is a pretty solid Division 3 school. Played a little bit in the coast and then has been playing pro over in Italy since, a little bit in the Alps League. He's in the Ice Hockey League this year, which is the primarily Austrian league that has an Italian team. So he's there. 2 points for 16 games, nothing crazy. He's, you know, he's 31 years old, forward, smaller guy. Nothing like that jumps off the page. Well, he does play internationally for Italy, someone who is a more notable player for Italy. They don't have a whole ton of notable guys. So when you have someone that can, like, get a little bit of attention, kind of like he has throughout his career, it's a good thing.
He does have that alliteration as well.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, that's going to do it for the show. Chase, if you could lead him out with an outro.
As always, I want to thank you guys for listening. If you want to check us out on Bolt Broadcast, support us over, or follow us over there. You know what I'm talking about. So we start this from the top. Patreon. That's what I want you to go to. Support us there. That'd be cool. Now you can go follow us on Twitter at Bolt Broadcast. It's at Bolt Broadcast. You can follow the Hockey Podcast Network on Twitter at HockeyPodNet. That's at HockeyPodNet. While you're at it, follow WMP on Twitter at WMP Sports Pod. That's WMP Sports Pod. Then we get all the content you need between those three Twitter accounts. Go to thehockeypodcastnetwork.com. Find all the podcasts and network there. Boom. Click the logo. Listen easy peasy lemon squeezy. If you could check out our blogs, that'd be swell. If you're listening, if you rate us 5 stars, send us your questions, comments, concerns. We really appreciate it. Brave dude, do not forget to use code THPN when you sign up for DraftKings.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.